presence. I like to do whatever I can do.
Amen.
So we're going to try this one. It's an old song, Mansion Over the Hilltop.
Thank you.
I can't sing a lick. They know I can't sing a lick, but praise God for those who can.
Amen.
We don't have a baby grand out there at Landmark Baptist Church. I might have known that Sam wanted to come up here and play this piano. Amen. That's my piano player there. It's Sharon. And like I said, they had to put up a me out there. I ain't figured that out. My deacon, bless his heart, he's here tonight. And matter of fact, there's about one, two, about six of them here tonight that was there this morning. That's a real miracle, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. All right, it's a blessed honor to be here. My pastor called me and said, would you mind filling in for me Sunday night? I said, absolutely. Send the hung the phone up. The Lord told me immediately what he wanted me to preach, and that always helps, amen.
Amen.
So hallelujah. I'm glad. I like it on that fashion. I like it when I don't have to worry about what to preach. And I certainly don't know, over here, I'll just say this, is a high caliber over here, a little preacher like me. If you know what I mean, amen. Be open up your good old King James Bible to Daniel chapter 6.
Amen.
I got asked a while back to preach out of Revelations. And I certainly want to honor the request, but it ain't happened yet, if you know what I mean. It probably will. But we're just a messenger boy. I never have made no boast of Eddie Wade. But we're just a messenger boy. And we're going to read the first 9 verses of Daniel chapter 6. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. Boy, I'd like to have one of them. Amen.
Amen.
And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion, nor fault. That's kind of what they've done with President Trump, ain't it?
Yeah.
For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning, this our text verse, the law of his God. Then these princes, and the princes assembled together unto the king and said unto him, thus saith the king Darius, live forever. We'll stop right there and go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you for the privilege to stand for the word of God in the hour which we live, Father. Lord, they hated you, and they hated you without a cause, and they hate your word, and they hate it without a cause. But there's some that love you, and there's some that love your word, and a lot of them are here tonight. And I pray, dear Father God, tonight to confess my inability. Lord, I'm not able to do anything. You told your disciples without you they could do nothing, and I'm one of them. I can't do nothing without your help. Would you please bless? Would you please help? And whatever you do tonight, Father, we'll be quick and careful to give you the praise and glory for it, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
Amen.
Now, I'm preaching tonight on getting in trouble with the law. And let me say, I've been a law breaker most of my life. Some of you know me, you worked with me. I don't really have to elaborate. But I've been constant. I mean a law breaker. Just blue lights. The only good thing I can say about blue lights is one time I got the blue lights flipped on me, and I pulled over, and it was Brother Zane, and he said, Brother Eddie, my son Tyler just got saved, and I didn't know how to tell you. I'm sorry I had to pull you over. I said, you pull me over anytime with news like that. But other than that, buddy, every time the blue lights came on, for my sake, I was in trouble and I got caught. Amen. Some of you were in trouble. You just didn't get caught. And you might as well say amen right there. I know old Brother Eddie's kind of noisy. Hey, you won't hurt my feelings. Amen. Shout. I don't care. Run the aisle. Turn chair over. Won't bother me a bit. But in trouble with the law. When I was a young man, I bought a 1966 GTO off of Sally Thomas for $1,200. Come out of my factory with a 389, three deuces, four speed in the floor. And I had a few other extras to it, Lenati cam and set of hooker headers and stuff like that, put big old tires on it. My dad sat up there in the front yard in a chase lounge. He said, I heard you four stop signs away, if you know what I mean. Anyway, because of that car system model, I ended up having to go to traffic school to keep losing my license. I had 1 point left. I learned about Mr. C.M. Balks. Catch your eye, master your machine, blend in, anticipate, leave yourself an out, keep your eyes moving, steer the center of the lane. Well, like I said, this message fits me like a T. I've been a troublemaker all my life. After at R. Donnelly & Sons, I got called, come up there to the foreman's office. I'd shot a man's dog the night before. My cousin Barry Ford, we went out on his bachelor party. I guess you say I'm drunk. I'm on top of a van and a dog runs out and I shoot it with a 22 rifle. The owner of the dog comes after us. He shoots a hole through his door trying to get that 30-30 loaded up. But look, hey, we made it. We got all the way home. He and all that. He got the license plate number. Chandler White on that van, they called him first. He said, I sold that van to Eddie Wade. Then they called Eddie Wade. My daddy said, did you shoot a man's dog? I said, yeah, daddy, to this day. I mean, my dad's passed away, but Brother Bill, to this day, he don't believe I done it. He thanks my cousin, Barry Ford, that I was celebrating his bachelor party. He thanks Barry shot that dog. He said, go ahead and admit it. You shot the dog. My son didn't shoot. You're how fathers are, amen. Man, y'all look at me like I don't know what. My tie crooked or what, amen. I know I'm wired up. Hey, I'm just trying to get this thing full in the four walls, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Diane, why don't you play the piano tonight? Anyway, I got up there and Brother Greg, sure enough, this man's there and he's redheaded and he's mad. That's one thing about a redheaded man, when they get mad, I'll tell you right now, they're mad. And if it hadn't been for my dad, I'll just tell y'all right now, I'd been in prison, I guess. He said, I just want you to know, if it wasn't for your dad, I'd take everything you got. And he got a little rough, and Daddy said, that's about enough, back off a little. But I ended up paying for that guy's door, for that dog, and I was glad to do it. Had money back there at Donnelly's. I mean, I wrote out a check. I had to pay the veterinarian bill. I had to pay to have that car fixed. Might end up buying the ammunition for the gun. I don't know, Brother Brian. I just know I was in trouble. You know what I mean?
Amen, brother.
I mean, I can talk about trouble, no problem at all. Sister Linda's here tonight. I used to pull off his copy. She bring out a thing out there called a reject. And I was kind of wanting some mercy. She said, Eddie, I tried. There just wasn't no way to have no mercy. This is unacceptable. And I'd go in that foreman's office. She'd say, pull him again. And I'd pull him again. And she'd reject him again. I'd pull him again. She'd reject him again. Finally, we'd run out of count. And he said, how you feel about him? I said, I feel like we need to just send him. And we did. And me and Bill, we know all about that. We both pressmen. We're familiar with all that. She's familiar with what I'm talking about. Well, I got in all kind of trouble. And maybe you've been in some kind of trouble yourself, but I was in the biggest trouble I guess I ever could be. There was a time that I come at this church and I was lost. That's the biggest trouble I've ever been in my life. I'm glad God helps souls. Amen. Amen. My mama said, God helps souls that helps themselves. I said, Mama, God helps those that can't help themselves. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, that kind of trouble, I'm glad God can take care of. Amen. Amen. I heard Brother David Carr on the radio, and he talked about coming through Tennessee, and he got the blues. And the reason he got the blues was when he came up through there in this road, the policeman was on the side of the road, and he pulled over to really a courtesy to give the policeman been in a room. And then when he pulled back over, the policeman pulled him over and said he didn't use his turn signal. I've been using my turn signals ever since I heard him on the radio. You know what I mean? We're going somewhere in this message. Bear with me. You that know more than I do. My uncle's father-in-law, what kin would that be to me? None. I done his funeral, John David Smith. Anybody here know John David Smith? All right, I seen him one or two hands come up. Well, John David Smith's down there gigging catfish in Skaggs Creek in the wintertime with a big snow on, and he's thinking no way that any game board would come around. And by the way, that is illegal, even though it's a rough fish. And he's gigging catfish out of Skaggs Creek, And Donald Depp. Does anybody know Donald Depp? Yeah. Donald Depp shows up. First thing John does is run. Not you, John Button. This is John David Smear. But you know what, John? He run. I mean, he run. I saw him run through the wires, run through the thicket, run through the place where the rabbits couldn't go. He done all that. And Michelle, he got down hid in a big briar patch. Donald Depp just walks up there and says, "You ready to surrender now?" And John David said, "How'd you see me?" He said, "That big fluorescent orange hat you got on." You know what I mean? You kind of forget sometimes what you got on. And here he is, that little big snow on, and he's got a hunter orange hat on. And Donald Depp just walked up there, and John David Smith, he got in that kind of trouble. And like I said, I thought the world of John David Smith. It was easy to do his funeral. He lived a good life. He had a good reputation. I didn't have to do anything but just kind of say, "Well, we're gathered together to honor the death of Mr. John David Smith." A lot of people have been in trouble. But in Daniel's case here, this law went against the law of Daniel's God. Look down at verse number 12 through 15. And they came near and spake before the king concerning the king. Well, we better read, I guess, a little more than that. They conspired or concocted whatever this idea of getting Daniel in trouble. And these princes and these presidents and princes, they went to the king. And they said, "King, the kingdom and governors and counselors and captains have consulted together and established a royal statute." They made it all sound, you know, pretty political here. "And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any other god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast in a den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree." It sounded like a noble thing. He thought, "Well, they're flattering me, and they think, you know, I'm perfect." So he signs that thing. Verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." I just want you to know, it didn't change Daniel. There are times, and I'm preaching along these lines, so pay attention now and I'll help you a bunch. "Then these men assembled, found Daniel praying, making supplication for his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that asks a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel," he's in trouble, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Now, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which a king established may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him to the den of lions. And I want you to know, this law that was signed went against Daniel's God. He's in a dilemma, kind of like Peter and the apostles. They got in trouble for trying to serve God. And you know, they said, "Oh, we'd obey men or obey God." Well, that's where Daniel was. He's in trouble with the law. It'll take me just a minute to get where I'm going, but when I get where I'm going, it'll be a whole lot faster. This law was unreasonable to deliver a law like this right here to a man of God. Oh, there'll be a law, and there has been some laws passed, and I'll mention them here in a minute, that are going to be contrary to the laws of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peace with all men. I want to live peace with all men, but I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care what laws they pass. I don't care what they say you can't do. I just want you to know my mind's made up. No matter what, I'm going for Him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship. I'm going all the way. I'm not going part of the way. I'm going all the way for the one that led me, gave Himself for me. Amen. Daniel had no choice. The king had no choice. This is one of them dilemmas where the law should have never been signed. Amen. The law was not only unreasonable, but it delivered Daniel trouble. Similar situation happened to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and they got thrown into a fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3, verse 3 through 18. This law got Daniel thrown into a lion's den. But let me say something about the law. The very first lawgiver was God. The very first law that was ever given was given to the first man. God said to that first man, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, and in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. First law.
Amen.
I want you to know that first man broke that first law. Not only did he break that first law, but there were consequences. He got confronted. First thing he did is like you and me, tried to hide. Found out. Got found. Even though he's hiding. The voice of the Lord came. What now, Adam? He said, I'm in sin.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
He got confronted. Cain got confronted. He's the second lawbreaker. But Adam got confronted about this law. First thing he did, he tried to convey the blame off to Eve. She tried to convey the blame off to the serpent. But all three of them was guilty. I want you to know that confrontation. I want you to know Adam probably sweating bullets. God said, what hast thou done? And Adam said, that woman you gave me, she gave me and I did eat. And that woman said, that serpent beguiled me and I did eat. It didn't change the circumstances, what I'm trying to say. You know, the Bible talks about they made themselves fig leaves. That's the very first religion there ever was. It worked pretty good, Thomas, till God showed up.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the way religion is. It pleases man.
Yeah.
And then when God shows up, religion looks for a hiding place. Bill's trying to talk to his sister about what it means to be saved. She can't see what he already sees because her eyes haven't been opened. When I was in darkness, I couldn't see it neither. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Well, anyway, they got caught, they got confronted, and I'll tell you what God did, he made clothes for them. And I believe it's Proverbs 27:26, it says, lambs are for thy clothing. God took one lamb and made a loincloth for Adam. He took about 10 lambs and made Eve a full dress. He didn't make her a two-piece bikini like Raquel Rich in 1 million B.C. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see Eve. She's in a full fur dress, a lamb dress, whatever you call it, all the way from the top, all the way down. And I tell you right now, I like the way God does things. Amen. He gave them a covering. And I tell you what, they wasn't ashamed no more. They wasn't, I got called. I was ashamed I got called. And you know, I made up all kind of excuses for what I did. But I'm glad, praise God, he made them a covering for their mistake. They's in trouble with the law, Brother David. God helped them with that trouble. He helped me with my trouble, amen.
Amen.
Oh, my. Well, Brother Eddie, that's Old Testament. Well, let's go to the New Testament then. Hey, you don't have to turn there. Just listen to me. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The Sanhedrin took knowledge of the apostles. They've been with Jesus. Ain't that good?
Amen.
Well, that's good, amen. You get a reputation for knowing Him. It's worth something, amen. Well, they had one of them kind of reputations. They'd cast out devils. They'd done some healing. Well, anyway, they were commanded by the Sanhedrin, they commanded them not to speak or teach anymore in the name of Jesus in verse number 18. And with that threat, they prayed. And boy, did they pray. The place was shaking. And they said, Lord, give us a boldness and authority. And I tell you what, buddy, they were brought before the council again. Verse 27 through 28, they were beaten and they were released. Verse 40, 42. And let me tell you something. They continued to preach and teach Jesus. Amen. We're instructed to pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Pray for them in authority that you may live peaceable lives. I don't know about y'all, but I do pray for our president. I was talking to Brother Wade this week, and he's telling me probably ain't going to be long. We're going to leave out. I said, why is that? He said, to sound the last trump. He said, if Trump gets voted out in November, he said, we're gone. We're out of here. Only way he could come up with something like that, amen. But he said, the sound of the last trump. I said, amen, but I got that on the slow train. But listen, not only did Peter and the apostles get in trouble, but Paul and Silas got cast out. They cast out a devil. They got beaten and in prison, got cast into the innermost part of the prison. Acts chapter 16, verse 18 through 24. Well, they're in that prison. What did they do? Being Baptists, the Bible said they sang praises. I like that word, sang. They sang and praised their God in prison at midnight. And not only did the prisoners hear them, but God heard them and sent a great earthquake. And listen, the shackles fell off and the doors opened up. And listen, not only that, the keeper must have heard them because he woke out of his sleep. Thank y'all for praying for me. It woke me out of my sleep. I sat in the home of sleep. Amen. Verse 27. Paul said, the law is good if it's used lawfully. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. He also said, I've not known sin but by the law. But listen, the law is good if it's used lawfully. There's a lot of things going on right now. Y'all probably don't keep up with it like I do. I was telling church this morning, I'm a watchman. What's a watchman do? He watches what's going on. Yeah. Tries to warn people. Tries to keep people informed. Anybody heard of anything like Agenda 21? There's one. Well, let me tell you about Agenda 21. Look it up on the internet. Agenda 21 has to do with the United Nations. We got into it thanks to our previous president. But here's the Agenda 21. To decrease the population of the world by 95% by the year 2030. They didn't go into details, Brian. I don't know. I told the church this morning they got a bunch of guillotines down there, I think, down there in Georgia. And it's got train tracks going in there. And it's got fence up with razor wire on top of it. I guess that's... maybe that's how they're going to do it. I don't know. I'm not speculating. I'm just telling you this. What the ALC say, we got 12 years?
Yeah.
Well, she went 2 years further. Maybe they're going to give us a couple years of grace there. I don't know. But Agenda 21 says they're going to decrease the population of the earth by 95%. That's got me in there, I believe.
Yeah, me too.
That green deal may not be as green as it sounds. Amen. Wade preaching one time said, yeah, the grass is green on the other side of the fence, but they don't tell you there's a septic tank underneath it. But listen, and you know why they're going to do it? Hands. To save the planet. Yeah. Yeah, for the earth's sake. We got to go. We're the contributors. It's causing all the problems. We're causing the global warming. We're causing all these problems. So 95% of us, and I guess that's you and me, Bill.
I guess so.
You know what I mean? We're not producing no more. We're not productive no more. And they say they don't deserve to breathe no more. I told the church this morning, I said, won't be long, they'll be charging us for air. And I got to think about when I stopped putting air in my tar, I had to pay a dollar for it. So I guess I was right, amen. But Agenda 21, you better be careful about some of these politicians. Anybody ever heard a name called Kim Davis?
Yeah.
She got in trouble. Y'all probably don't know this, but you're going to here in a minute. The reason Kim Davis got in trouble was she had refused to sign a same-sex marriage license.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it cost her. This is kind of, I told the church about that a little bit this morning. It's kind of sad. So she's doing right. saying it's against what I believe. Now, let me back this up just a little bit. When I said the law is good if it's used lawfully,
right.
Let me elaborate on that. That's unconstitutional. What's a constitution for?
For our laws.
You get what I mean? So if Brian's unconstitutional, that means I get rights and he's got to forfeit his so I can get them. I'm going there with that here in just a minute. I just want to throw that in there real quick. When the law is not used lawfully, you have a predicament like Kim Davis. How'd she get in that predicament, Brother Eddie? Well,
yeah.
Governor, thought I heard him behind me. Governor Steve Beshear signed a law forcing, making it mandatory, the county court clerks sign same-sex marriage license. That's how she got in trouble.
Amen.
Yep. Now here's what you don't know. Here's what you don't know, Cheryl. That same-sex couple sued. And they got an award of $222,000. Who pays it, Greg?
We do.
Kentucky. Not the United States. Kentucky taxpayers.
That's right.
Picked up the tab.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but I don't agree with that.
No.
To me, that's unconstitutional. You get what I mean? They pay their own dad burn bills. I don't need the problem to begin with, but I sure don't want to pay for those kind of problems. But anyway, the Kentucky taxpayers had to pick up their legal fees because of the emotional trauma of being denied a same-sex wedding, a same-sex marriage license. Amen.